This is Tracy Hales Vass with Right on Four Corners on KSJE 90.9 FM in Farmington, New Mexico. Today, I'm talking to Alan K. LaSalle about his book, Todd. Well, thanks for coming into the studio, Al.
Well, thank you, Tracy. It's a real pleasure to be here.
I really enjoyed reading about Todd. Todd the dog. T-O-D the other dog.
That's the one.
Yes, he's quite a character.
Todd is an unusual dog. And you know, Todd was real.
I was just going to ask you that.
Not quite the way that I've written about him, but Todd was a real dog. And he belonged to a neighbor. The story is in the book, but I'll briefly recap it.
Please.
He belonged to a neighbor. The way he came about and the way his name came about was from Ben and his wife had another dog, or had a dog already. Well, Todd wandered in, and they kind of liked him. So they decided to keep him, but they didn't have a name, so they were calling him the other dog. Well, all of a sudden that turned into an acronym of Todd.
Todd.
That's the story about Todd.
That's how Todd.
Todd was not nearly as big as the way I portrayed him in the book.
In the book, but you say he's 200 pounds.
Yeah.
Wow.
The real Todd was probably 150.
Wow, that's big.
Yeah, he was a big dog, but he wasn't as big as this dog. Nor was he a Bouvier de Flanders.
Ah.
He was, I think, more of a long-haired lab.
Long-haired lab. So yeah. He's kind of a mixture.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Those are the best.
Yeah, he's a half-breed.
Great.
Quarter breed, something.
Something, yeah. And the area that this is set in is fictional?
Really not.
Okay.
I mean, it is, to a point, it is.
Yeah.
It was actually, a lot of these things actually happened in the neighborhood that we live in. I've just, you know, literary license is a wonderful thing.
Absolutely.
Somebody asked the other day what that was, and I said, well, anything goes.
That's right. That's
and,
right.
And that's the way it is with this book. There's some parts in it that are about the neighborhood in which we live,
mm-hmm.
but there are a lot of parts that I've taken
literary license
quite liberally.
I like that very much. That's great. Well, why don't you give our listeners a little synopsis of what Todd's about?
Todd is the acronym. I'm going to read this. Todd is the acronym for the name of a huge, incredible dog that adopted my wife as his human female. Todd's name was derived from his position in his former family. He became the other dog after he charmed his way into their lives and became their second canine pet. After our neighbor's divorce, Todd stayed with the husband and was consequently abandoned by his former mistress, who took with her their first animal. This was an event that broke Todd's heart and left a huge hole. My name is Ad Gartenberg, and I became Todd's best friend behind my wife Janae and his canine girlfriend Jazzy. The evening after my wife and I closed on our new house, we drove to it for another look before the movers arrived the next day. It was dark when Todd paid an unannounced visit and frightened me beyond description. Nearly paralyzed with fear, my wife came to my rescue and coaxed Todd to allow her to pet him. When she did, he mournfully whined and was reduced to a pile of quivering, slobbering black fur. Well, Todd is a beast in the truest sense, a mixed breed of the combined Bouvier de Flandres breed, or pedigree, and a mystery variety. The huge animal stands about 3.5 feet and weighs nearly 200 pounds. His fangs, of which are permanently on display below his upper lips, are as long as my fingers. His growl is convincing and can be as terrifying as the MGM lions. Well, you know, there's a couple of more paragraphs here, but that gives you kind of an idea of what it's about.
Todd has quite the personality, and you captured that really well in the story of Todd.
No, I'm glad you think so.
Yeah.
You know, there's something about animals that I found because I've been around them all my life.
Yes.
And they have their own personality, of course. But, you know, and I think dogs especially are, and it's portrayed here, they have a sensitivity to them.
Yes.
And when Todd's first mistress left, he was just brokenhearted. And after he never did come to live with us, actually, as is in the book.
Mm-hmm.
But he was a neighborhood pet, and he had a love affair with my wife. That, well, not Janae, but my real wife, just couldn't be equaled.
She came to fill in for his missing mistress.
That's right. Aww. That's right. And he adopted her. She was his human human, yeah. His human, yeah.
You bet. And Jazzy was Todd's girlfriend.
Yes. She was real. She belonged to a neighbor. Had a pretty good-sized piece of property.
Mm-hmm.
And Jazzy kept escaping and coming to our yard. And she and Todd would get together. Now, there were never any puppies, at least from them, but they were good friends, let's put it that way.
I understand. In the book, Jazzy has some puppies, and then she helps raise some fox kits.
Yeah, some foxes.
That's pretty interesting.
You know, that didn't happen here either, but I did. That happened. That was a story. I was born and raised out in eastern Colorado. That happened with some coyotes that I found when I was out on horseback. And I found a den of coyotes, and I watched for a couple of days, I think. I was just a little kid, probably 10 years old. And I watched for a couple of days, and there was never any adult coyote came up to them. So gathered them up and took them to the house. And we had a female dog that raised them.
Wow.
So, like I say, literary license again.
Absolutely, absolutely. It makes a really good story, and it does happen. As in your case, it did.
Yeah, and, you know, I talked to my vet about it, and he said that cross-collaboration.
Yes.
That does happen. I know it happens with sheep, with cattle,
mm-hmm.
with the bigger animals. I didn't know if it would happen actually with dogs or not, but it happens with dogs and coyotes, and so I assume dogs
sure.
and foxes.
Right. Another thing that's very interesting in the book is the protagonist moved into this neighborhood, and he got to know the neighbors through the dogs. Got to know the neighbors, who were very peculiar in their own right.
Yeah, yeah.
I like that.
Well, you know, Todd, he was the neighborhood protector.
Right.
And he did that.
Yeah.
In real life. He would go up and down the street, and he would just kind of patrol the neighborhood. A stranger would come in, because we live in a cul-de-sac, just as this, only the property isn't as big.
Uh-huh.
But there would be a stranger come into down the street in the cul-de-sac. Well, Todd would sit there in his spot, and he'd watch him. They'd get far enough in to where he had control of it, and he'd get about maybe 10 or 15 feet behind him. He'd follow along, and every few seconds he'd bark, growl. They weren't welcome, not unless somebody came out. And if a neighbor would come out, if they were supposed to be there, he understood it was all right. But if they weren't supposed to be there, he understood it was all wrong, and so did they.
And they got the message. That's great. Why don't you read a little bit for us from Todd?
Tracy, you asked me about getting ready for this, and whenever this is the first book that I've written. So I've never done anything like this, but there are favorite parts. I'm going to assume that's true of every author,
mm-hmm.
that they come, things just flow when you're writing, and you develop favorite parts. So there's three or four of those in here, and I had a hard time coming up with a good one. There was one I decided not to use it for a kind of a personal reason that has to do with a former wife, so I decided not to do it.
Okay.
But this one here. Again, Janae called me at work the next day to report that the Lady Minnie brought over wanted the last puppy. She was sold on him when she learned that Todd was his sire and hoped that the little dog would grow to be Todd's size. Janae said that she wanted to take Todd because of his personality and reputation, but Janae, of course, wouldn't relinquish him and had to tell her the story of how Todd had adopted her when she and Todd and I met. After hearing Janae's story, she relented and focused on the puppy. Learning about the loyalty and protective instinct that Todd possessed did it for her, and she convinced herself that Todd's DNA was flowing freely in the veins of the puppy, and he had the natural inclination to be her protector. On the spot, she named him Genghis Khan after the savage Mongol king who conquered an entire continent by terrifying its population into submission or killing them. She told Janae and Minnie that she had been badly frightened by a man who followed her when she was on her evening jog. She managed to outrun the miscreant and sought safety at a girlfriend's house that lived in the same area as she did. Janae recounted that she'd never seen a woman so intent on self-protection. She was preparing for her concealed carry permit and would apply for it when she finished her instruction. The enraged woman told the other ladies that with the big dog and a big gun, that she was resolute about humanizing anyone who frightened her again the way that guy had done. She vehemently reported her sentiments that anyone who did it again didn't have a right to live, and that she would mete out retribution according to her mood at the time if it happened again. She showed her pistol, a 45 caliber Kimber Model M1911, to the other ladies. Minnie got glassy-eyed and put her hand to her forehead and nearly collapsed when she saw what was probably the first gun she ever laid eyes upon. She was terrified by it. When she recovered from the shock of seeing the weapon and realized that it hadn't gotten loose from its owner and indiscriminately fired and killed them all, she came to her senses and felt much better. She then boldly declared to the ladies that she was going to buy a gun just like that one so she could protect herself. Janae encouraged both women with a hearty bravo, then explained to Minnie that buying a gun should not be your first step, that training and instruction should come before the purchase of a firearm so that she would qualify as a responsible gun owner, and that it wouldn't be wise or prudent to pull out a gun and start waving it around when someone frightened her. Minnie then seemed to come to her senses and agreed to let Janae introduce her to guns the right way. The mind's eye can work glorious wonders for the soul or create debilitating, chilling visions. When my mind's eye envisioned Minnie Tungland waving a loaded 45 caliber Kimber, I was nearly traumatized into a condition that caused me to sit in a corner and suck my thumb. That almost happened to me, something like that. So there's another one of those, Tracy, that, you know, one of those things that kind of happened that I wrote about.
Right. Minnie's a great character, and through the dog's intervention, she goes through quite a character arc.
Yeah, she does.
That's
she
great.
Does. And Professor Tungland is a piece of work, too.
Absolutely. Yes, I really enjoyed those characters. Now, you said this is the first book you've written?
Yes.
So what?
Well, it's not the first I've written. It's the first that I've gotten published.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you've been writing.
Yeah. I started writing when I was in, junior high, or maybe in grade school even. But I liked to write term papers when I was in school. I was the only kid in that little school out there that ever liked to write term papers.
Right.
Well, when I got into college, I turned that into an income. And term papers aren't anywhere close to what writing a novel is. But I did learn about plagiarism when I was in high school, because, you know, I invented a lot of authors. I invented a lot of books. So there you go again. You know, there's literary license. You're not supposed to take it. But I knew that none of the teachers or none of the instructors would go through the bibliography and check every one of those references. So they wasn't like today when there's computers.
That's true.
You know, I did that, and I just enjoyed writing. And then I did a little tech writing, mm-hmm. as in my employment. But after I retired, my wife talked me into, she said I needed to do this. And there was that ad that kept running on the radio about a company that was looking for authors. And so I finally submitted, and gosh, within a few days, I was accepted.
Well, there you go. When did you know you were going to write about Todd?
I had several short stories that I had written about Todd in our neighborhood. Ah. I had submitted them to a number of periodicals, and I had just as many rejection letters as I had submissions. And so when I talked to my publisher, Page Publishing, when I talked to them, they didn't do short stories. But she said, go ahead and send them to us. Maybe we can do something with it. Well, instead of doing that, I just thought, you know, I can combine these. And so I sat down and spent several days just combining some of the short stories, and Todd was the result.
So now that you've written Todd, what's next?
Todd is the first of what was going to be a three-part series.
Oh.
And the second one is written. It's in the printing stage now.
Great.
It's going to be out in a week, well, a month.
Okay.
And then the third one, the second one is the name of it is The Orchard.
The Orchard, okay.
Yeah. The third one is going to be Long Ears. But anyway, the second one, as I say, it's The Orchard. It's done. It's on its way. I got a little synopsis of it if you want me to.
Please.
The Orchard is a sequel to Todd, a tale about an enormous dog that made a huge impact on a New Mexico family that resides on a 32-acre parcel in a settlement named The Orchard, located in the smack dab center of a New Mexico city. The Orchard introduces new characters, human and animal, friend and foe, that impact the lives of the Gartenberg family. An unusual, dangerous animal pays The Orchard a visit and provokes considerable excitement for the Gartenbergs and their neighbors. Then there's a federal government game warden that overplays his authority and is excruciatingly embarrassed by the Gartenbergs' cunning attorney, Joseph Marks. Mm. Two miscreant brothers who attempt to include The Orchard in an ingenious drug-dealing conspiracy provide an element of peril and scheming. The drug venture is spoiled by Ad and Janae, JT, their son, and Todd, their ever-vigilant dog. The adult daughter of Ad and Janae, Michelle, come to live with them when her contractor husband is awarded an overseas home-building project. Janae sees an opportunity to gain a first grandchild and tries to manipulate Michelle and her husband into taking part in the miracle of pregnancy. The couple wants to wait until Gideon completes the overseas project. Humorous mother and daughter bantering provide a waggish aspect to the tale that leaves the reader wondering what will come in the next book in this sequel, Long Ears.
Ah, that sounds thrilling and exciting. All kinds of other elements coming into play.
I thought that I might stop with three. I was going to stop with three books.
Mm-hmm.
But I am going to stop for about a year maybe with three books. But I'm going to continue this series after that, I think. I'm going to write. I've got another book that I've started. It's in the thought stage, I guess. Uh-huh. What do you call it, Tracy? You're an author.
Thought stage is that a good way to put
okay.
it, yeah.
And that's where it is. I've got the beginning and the end. I just have to make the middle. So anyway, I want to do that. Just another project.
Great.
And then I'll probably continue this series.
Good. When do you write? And when do you know?
I write every day. I try to spend at least 3 hours. I try to spend 4 hours a day writing.
Great.
I don't always do it, but I usually spend at least three. And that doesn't, I don't do it on weekends. I do it just like a job. I'll sit down at my computer and write. And write or edit. Now,
right.
There's a, the editing, it can be, I've learned a lot about this. I've made, in the first book, I can find so many things that I didn't do right.
I understand that.
In the second book, it's kind of the same way now that I'm writing the third book.
Right.
Now, the third book, when I'm developing, it's like I say, you sit and think, and sometimes you disconnect. Your brain connects with your fingers, and you're just going like crazy
right.
on that, on the computer. Well, I found in developing, in this third book, in developing some of the situations when I'm editing, I can get more out of it than I did in the first two books. And it's, I've turned probably what was 1,000 or maybe 1,200 pages versus 400.
Right.
And then the publisher has told me that when I get all three books written, that they might want to include them all in one.
I've been talking to a lot of authors, and some call themselves pantsers and some call them plotters. So a pantser just writes from the seat of his pants. And a plotter writes an outline first. So what do you do?
I sure don't write an outline.
Yeah.
I just get an idea and develop it. And then I just continue to develop it. And, you know, somebody told me that one time that they did an outline. I've never taken a formal writing course in my life. So I didn't know about that. And I thought, I would get so fouled up if I would try to write an outline of my book, because I don't have any idea where it's going to go.
Right. You let it grow organically.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, that's a good way to say it.
Yeah. Where can listeners find Todd?
Amazon, okay. Barnes & Noble,
okay.
Amy's Used Books here in Farmington, Entertain Mart, downtown at the Artifacts Gallery.
Al, I appreciate you coming in today, and I look forward to reading the next book, The Orchard.
I'll make sure you get a copy.
I'd appreciate that. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me, Tracy.
And that was Al LaSalle talking about his book, Todd. This is Tracy Hales Vass with Right on Four Corners on KSJE 90.9 FM in Farmington, New Mexico.